dominion that a person carries, and that's what the issue of the laying on of hands is all about. It's about laying your hands on someone to set them in place to do something. And when I first arrived on, crumbs, when was it? Monday. Sorry, my days are just so mixed up at the moment. when we first arrived on Monday, the Lord began to speak to me about your governmental house here and what God has got set in place here. And there needs to be now an ordination that needs to take place for the realm to go deeper and wider than what it's been experienced here in your house before. And so I checked with Mike and asked him if I would have the privilege to be able to lay hands on him and release him and set them both in place as apostles within the territory here and within your nation. Now, the Bible says that God sets some in place, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And one of the reasons that your house is doing what it's doing is because you have an apostolic covering and an apostolic mandate that sits on your house that comes through the set man that God has put in your house here and his wife. Excuse me, the guy can't do it without his wife. So when I talk about the set man, I'm talking about them together, like sort of, you know, regardless of whether you believe your aunt or not, my wife has just as much inheritance as I do because I'm out there doing it. She's at home looking after the fire for me, looking after my family, which I can't do when I'm out. So her reward's just the same as mine, regardless of whether it seems that I do all the stuff and she doesn't. Amen? Amen, sister? Hallelujah. And so what I would love to do tonight is, could someone just grab us those two chairs over here? Just bring them over and stick them in the middle for me. That would be really great. And I would love you and your wife to come down the front here. Glory to Jesus. No, no, you can be facing the people. Hallelujah. Please grab yourself a seat. One of my charges when I first got involved in the courts in heaven, one of my charges the Lord got and that I got from the Lord was to be able to anoint people and set them in place as head and in the realm of headship of governmental arenas in the face of the earth. And so this is a privilege I've had. I've done it 5 times between now and the last 4 years. And this is now, sorry, 4 times. This is now my 5th time. And it's really important that's the 5th time. But, you know, it just things for me. And so, see, I don't remember, it's all about me. It's not about them. But it actually is all about them. And so it's a pleasure and a privilege. And all we're doing today is just publicly acknowledging and bearing witness to what God has already done and is doing. This isn't anything new that I'm talking about here. This isn't anything that is mystical and it's like, well, this is going to be some new big thing that's going to happen. All we're doing is engaging the spirit realm now in a deeper level to acknowledge so that we form a shadow on the earth in our acknowledgement as it is already established in heaven, so that that which is in heaven can sit fully down and acknowledge that which is in the earth. Amen. And so, my hope is that it goes deeper, wider, higher, deeper, wider, and higher. Now, Mike was just seeing a whole lot of these angels that are called hunter angels, and I have no doubt he can talk to you about what they were, but these angels are often released into communities because the requirement has been met for the harvest in the community to begin to come in. And they get released into the community, and they go mandated by an apostolic glory to do a job, which is to bring the men in from the highways and the byways, and women, from the highways and byways, and bring the souls of people into the table of God. It's not bringing them into the church. It's bringing them into the table of God where they learn how to eat from the table of the Lord. And I know that's what Mike's heart is, to bring the people of God into being able to eat from the table of God instead of just having, you know, minute by minute it's sort of thing like you pray for me. It's actually engaging you to teach you what to do for yourself so you can go and eat when everybody else is eating with you. Amen? And so what we're going to do is we're going to anoint them tonight and we're going to set them in place as apostles. Firstly, here in your house, then in your territory, and then in your nation. People say to me, well, you're not an apostle in my nation. I don't care. I'm an apostle in the world. So just get your head out of the gutter. Our biggest thing is that God has set us in place to do things because we're kings. And it's out of the realm of responsibility that God mandates you to do things. And this is one of my mandates, and I really love doing it. And because I can do it, and you know, if you don't like it, well, you can leave. So it's all good for me. Hallelujah. Well, not really, because I want you to stay and listen, but glory to Jesus. Just over the last 2 days that I've been in your family home, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. I feel like I've known you for years and years and years. Like it's like we were sitting down today just in the lounge just after the afternoon meeting and after Mike was finished here, and we were naturally well, like two birds chirping to one another. And it's amazing how I've never met him, and yet he's doing the same things that I've been doing and walking some of the same things and talk the same kind of language. And it's been amazing. God has been doing something in the secret here that is ready to explode into your territory and then into your nation. The world, let me tell you this now, the world is going to start taking notice of what God is doing here. The world is going to start taking notice of what God is doing here. And it's not only just the work that you're going to be doing, but it's the signs and the wonders and the manifest glory of his presence with a group of people that have been taught and matured to engage the kingdom. And so today I want to come with you, and I want you two, and I want to stand today as a son, and I want to admonish you and honor you for the work, first of all, for the price that you both have had to pay to get where you've got. You being at home and watching your crazy husband walk in the heavens and freak you out. And you, because you're such a crazy husband who loves this crazy wife that loves being here. And so, but it's amazing. I mean, this is my wife and I. These two are the picture of my wife and I. Just wonderful. Hallelujah. Man of my own man. And it's just great. And so I want to acknowledge today the pain that both of you walked through. The brokenness that both of you have gone through in your lives to get where you are today. And there's a crown. Paul says this, that up for me is laid a crown because my course has been run. And there is a crown that God has laid up tonight that as we anoint you, that crown's going to come upon your head. And the spirit realm is going to begin to acknowledge that there sits a king and a queen in the house of God. And it's been a pleasure to be here and to watch God do this stuff with your people. And it's a pleasure tonight for me to come, first of all, as a friend. I feel like sort of known you for years and years. And then as a brother, and then as a king to mandate you and set you in place. I already know you have the scepter. I know you already have the crown. I know you already have the garment. You have the things, the tools already mandated for it today. But this is going deep into a public acknowledgement and telling the spirit world, this is what is here. You now pay attention to this. And so we're going to anoint you today. And I praise God, I saved a bit of my frankincense. And I didn't mean to spill it all over the floor, but glory to Jesus. Just have your hands up here. Just open your hands together like that and just put them in there like that. Father, today we want to anoint them today, Lord, with frankincense in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to anoint them and set them apart. You can hold hands again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to anoint him today. Lord, today I stand as a son. I stand in my role as a judicial king, an ambassador, Father, from the court of heaven. Father, I stand today in that role in the name of Yeshua. Father, today I anoint them. Lord, even as the high priest would come and anoint the kings, Father, within the system of Israel. Today, Lord, I anoint these two as kings in the system of your kingdom. Father, I appoint them by the laying out of hands as an apostle, Father, to this territory, to this house, and to this nation. Father, I ask for that apostleship mantle to come over them, Father, and sit over their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, that out of heaven there would come a release of the mandating authority of God to equip sons and daughters, Father, from them both, to equip sons and daughters to walk before the presence of God, to know the fear of the Lord, to know the power of God, to know the resurrection glory of the Lord manifesting within their lives and within their environment. Father, today we commission them and publicly acknowledge what you have been doing. We acknowledge it today in the realm of the Spirit today. Father, I ask that the judicial papers, Father, that you have ordained for them, Father, that the judicial papers in the name of Jesus would be signed off in heaven. Father, there would come a decree of the word of the Lord over those papers, that the watchers of the Lord would deliver those scrolls right into the very belly of these two. Father, in the name of Jesus, would come out of the realm of heaven and into them. Father, I ask for the lion of the tribe of Judah to roar over them tonight in the realm of the kingdom. Father, that his voice would be heard in the realm of the spirit, that he would roar over them and decree that here stands his son, and the ordination of the kingdom realm would sit upon their shoulders in the governmental role in the name of Jesus. Father, we anoint them today, and we set them in place. We set them in place, Father. Father, we set them into the house of God. We set them, Father, we set them as stones of righteousness, the planting of God. We set them as pillars in the temple of our God today. Father, you'd write upon them your new name. You'd inscribe upon them the name of the new Jerusalem. And Father, you'd testate upon them your new name. You'd seal it, Father, with a bench of heaven in the name of Jesus. Father, as a group of people today, we bless them and we acknowledge this thing before the Lord in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the burning fire of the presence of God, Lord, we move into the realm of the fire, the testimony of the glory fire of God that seals the wax of your glory and your presence. Lord, let the seal of God come upon them in a new way tonight, Father, and stamp them. Father, stamp them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It feels good. I feel good. I feel like I'm done. Glory. I can go home now. I've done my job. Praise the Lord. Expect it to get hotter. I'm serious. Expect it to get hotter. If you've got junk in your life, it is going to flush to the surface. Because when you get an apostolic covering set in place properly, you find that nothing can be hidden because the light of God shines wherever the covering manifests itself. And so it's going to be a time for dealing with junk. But it's a time of the fear of God coming into the church, where there's a reverential fear that came upon the church in the New Testament. You can expect that thing to begin to visit you guys. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to getting phone calls. Ian, what do I do? I'll go, I don't know. The great thing I love about being a visiting speaker is you can create a mess and then walk away. No, not really. I'm not really like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just need my glasses. Excuse me. Praise God. Well, we said on the first night when I shared about communion that we're going to have communion, and we're going to have communion at the end of this first session. I want to do two sessions tonight. I want to talk about the actual DNA of God. I want to talk about my encounter with the DNA. And then we're going to have communion together, and then I want to teach on Eden, and I want to go tonight. It's time I went wandering a bit with a group of people, so some of you are welcome to come along with me if you want to go. And so anyway, a lot of the stuff with me often doesn't come from me studying the Word. What happens with me personally, and this is for me, is that God will bring me into a realm of encounter that I see things that I've never seen before. And then I have to come down here and I have to digest them and then try and figure out what it's all about. And that's my struggle, is getting what I see, getting semantics for it, and then planting it here and then trying to teach it to other people. And so usually I share little bits at a time to see what happens in the lives of people when I share those little bits, and mostly people manifest because it usually isn't quite what they used to. And so my first encounter with the DNA of God, I've had several of them, but my first encounter was probably 3.5 or 4 years ago now. I was in a church, and I had learned, and I had come to the whole place with the four chambers of the heart and what they all mean. And one of the chambers of your heart is the dance floor of passion, where you can give yourself to the presence of God and unashamedly and abandonedly give yourself to engage His presence. And I'd set my heart during this meeting to go onto that dance floor because I just needed to be with God. I would stuff everybody else. I'd forget about what they were doing. I just wanted God. And so I made a conscious choice to go into the realm of my kingdom and the spirit realm that sits in me. And from there to go into the realm of my heart and begin to go onto the dance floor. And so I'd been there several times, but I never really got very much out of it because I didn't really know what I was supposed to do there. And so this time I went onto the dance floor and I more felt than heard the presence of God around me. And I just had my eyes closed. And the dance floor is an amazing place. When I first ever went on it, I was kind of astonished being there because I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And it's like a white room. The floor is like this shiny marble that's kind of like on fire. It's kind of like a blue white, and these seams of gold that run around the edges of the pavement are these great big, kind of like oblong blocks of beauty. Well, I mean, I can't even describe them. They're stones, but they're not stones as you know them. And they're living and they're alive. And when you walk in them, it's like you're walking in bare feet, but it's like walking. You know, anybody ever heard a tap dancer walk? It was amazing just to kind of be on there, and it was kind of like whoa, and that was giving me goosebumps on my goosebumps. And so so this time I went on there, I made the choice to actually shut out all my surrounds and allow my emotions and my desire to be fully turned towards the presence of God. And so in the middle of that, I began to feel this movement around me. And so I just began in my spirit to give myself to the movement of the presence of God. And I don't know how long. I mean, for me, it seemed like hours I was on there. I don't know how long in the natural arena here that this happened over. But I felt like I'd been on there for hours just giving myself to the presence of God. And there was almost like I felt a subtle change in the atmosphere when I was doing that. And I'd come to a point where I couldn't give myself any more with the knowledge that I had to the presence of God. I'd come to the point where I'd exhausted everything that I would describe as desire to become one with His presence and to give myself into the realm of His glory. And I opened my eyes, but it's weird because you're in the spirit and your eyes are open, but you make a choice not to see. And I don't understand this stuff. But I opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I was in this cloud of this swirl. And it wasn't only the Father that was there. It was the Father, there was Jesus, and then there was the Holy Spirit. And they were doing this triune pirouette dance around me as I was just yielding myself to the presence of God. And I was going round and round and round this thing. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, I was getting freaked out sitting on this chair. And gradually what happened, it seemed to get faster and faster and faster. Until what began to happen, there was like this whirlwind that started to come around me. And it was the blending of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit until they became one around me. And it gradually got faster and faster and faster and faster until I could feel myself starting to pant. It was like, because I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to get out of this thing. And so in the middle of that, what began to happen was I looked down and I was kind of in the air, but able to see my body, but I was my body as well. And I kind of looked at myself, and when I was dancing, I started to come to pieces. It's like I just started to break up, and it kind of started on the top of my head and my hands, and I just started to break up. I just started to emulsify and cease to exist in the physical characteristics of what I was used to living in. And I literally became part of a cloud. I just kind of broke up. It was like it kind of went, and I was watching myself break up into these bits. I was just like, and they would just kind of dissolve and get smaller and smaller and smaller until they started to get buried into this cloud that was swirling up in top of me. It was like a reverse tornado. It kind of started big at the bottom and went to really small at the top like this. And once I'd finished kind of dissolving, I found myself actually floating in the air, going higher and higher in this thing. And when I looked up, it was at the pinnacle of this tornado thing that was sitting over the top of me. There was a strand of DNA that had three strands in it hanging out inside the room like that. And my body, what was the mush? I mean, I don't know what else to call it. The record of what I'd become in the dance floor, the presence of God, had come up into this thing. And I was moving around that DNA until that DNA began to make a sound in the mush that took on the same sound as that thing. When that sound triggered inside my DNA, I started to come down down this way, and I started to form again on the floor. But this time from my feet up, I started to materialize again. But I knew I was different because I touched something. And the thing that fascinated, I mean, the experience was wonderful. But the thing that fascinated me was the three strands. Because I'd done a lot of study on the human DNA, and then we've got two strands. And so my first question when I got out of that is, God, what was that all about? You know, what's that three strand thing? And the Lord says, that's my DNA. And I went, oh my God, we are so messed up in the way that we've studied DNA. Because we studied the two-third part, and there's a one-third part being, which is connected with your spirit being, your spirit man. And that engagement of that and the protocol of that is missing out of the human DNA that they've studied. And I went, oh, I don't know about you, but that kind of thing gives me goosebumps. And so I said, okay, God, you know, like the good religious person, give me the word. How many have ever done that? Especially when you don't understand stuff. It's called your backstop of unbelief. I mean, I couldn't say the experience wasn't real, yet I'm still so full of unbelief. How can God have three strands of DNA when we made of two? Well, it's easy because he's God and we man. I mean, it's just like a simple answer, really. See, the problem is a two-third being is what you are when you're unsaved. And so the record of your two-thirds is two strands of the three. And so what is physically seen is the two strands. The other strand is engaged in the realm of the spirit, which is not seen with physical stuff. And so I kind of went into the Word and said, okay, Lord, you really need to help me here because I've got to teach this to people to show them that God has three strands of DNA and that God has given, remember I said yesterday about communion, how God has given that to us to be able to engage when we take communion in the reality that there is a different sound and a different strand of the DNA that he's given us. That when we take that strand of DNA and we eat his body and drink his blood, we are going to have eternal life. Because what we are doing is we're eating and drinking an anchor and an engagement of a three-quarter DNA that God has given us to engage. And so I'm just going to share with you a quick little 10-minute journey through this. And then we're going to have communion with a difference tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. What I find, Jesus always fascinates me in the things that he does. And you know, we have on our outside being, we actually have a false covering. Because this isn't really what we were made to look like. We were made to look a little bit different than this. And so I'm really glad because when you look in the mirror, I get a fright. I don't know about you, but it's like, good Lord, look at that handsome dude. You know, and except by doing that, I've lost all my hair now. So, you know, it's all good. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so, but I kind of love what Jesus has done. You know, there's these things in Scripture that really give me anchors. And, you know, because of the law of first mention, it's important that we understand that when Jesus did stuff, it was anchoring onto the law of first mention. The law of first mention means that when something was mentioned first, that starts the origin that lays the seed of the door for the manifestation of that. And so there's this scripture that talks about Jesus going up to Jerusalem. And he comes across the tree, you know, that fig tree. Now, let's wait a minute. This is the wrong season to bear figs. All right? So Jesus comes up to the tree in the wrong season to bear figs, and there's no figs in it. And Jesus says the weirdest of thing to the fig tree. From henceforth, you will bear no more fruit. And he goes on up to Jerusalem, challenges the spirit of mammon and turning all the tables over in the wilderness, makes a cat of nine tails, which means that Jesus knew it was only the army that taught you how to lay the lariat of the cat of nine tails, because in the cat of nine tails, they wove bits of stone and brick and glass into that so that when it would hit something, they could pull it and it would strip it. That's what they used on Jesus. The same whip, by the way. And so what Jesus did was he made this whip, turns the money changing tables over, comes down from Jerusalem, and his disciples go past the fig tree, and the disciples go, whoa. The fig tree's dead. Our master cursed it. No, well, let's wait a minute. Jesus didn't curse anything, right? Jesus doesn't curse anything. Jesus is a giver of life. What Jesus did was Jesus released judgment against the fig tree. Why did Jesus do that? I mean, what a stupid thing. When out of season, poor blasted fig tree.
I mean, what's its problem? Except it's just sitting there trying to produce figs for people to eat from. Unless you understand the law of first mention. See, what Jesus did was Jesus addressed an issue. When was fig leaves and fig trees first mentioned? All the way in the garden. Well, actually outside of the garden, sort of in the garden, but outside of it, where Adam and Eve sewed together fig leaves to cover themselves with. And so here is Jesus coming to go up the mountain, speaking to the fig tree and saying to that false covenant and that false covering and the false manifestation of that covering, from henceforth you will bear no more fruit. He didn't just speak to a fig tree. He spoke to the false covering that was symbolized by the fig tree. This is Hebraic. Okay, this is how you study Hebraic. This is how you study the word. And so, because Jesus spoke to that false covering, we need to recognize that our body has a false covering called a two-strand DNA. Jesus spoke to that thing and said to it, from henceforth you will bear no more fruit. Which means that you won't have a witness on the earth. You won't have power on the earth. You won't have the ability to falsify and actually document issues that shouldn't really be documented. Jesus spoke to it, and the fig tree withered up. I can make noises coming out of my mail. The fig tree withered up. We can now speak 16 more thousand words. Hallelujah, Jesus. The fig tree withered up. And so what God is doing is He's speaking actually to the very root of our DNA, saying to our DNA, from henceforth, you will bear no more fruit. Yes, Ian. You can all nod. Hallelujah. And so I went down through the Bible, and I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, so this is where the bench of three thing came from, was everything's about threes in the Bible. You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and just goes through threes all the way through the Bible, because actually it's a manifestation of the strands of God that sit in government all the way through the Bible, three strands. And so I'm just going to give you a synopsis here. DNA is denitrifying acid, DNA and whatever, and so it's these fancy scientific names that they've given DNA. I want to give you the Christian interpretation of DNA. Divine nature assimilated. On the outside of the DNA, you've got this thing that is a building blocks of your body and your physical environment called ribonucleic acid, which is called RNA. RNA, from a Christian perspective, is the revealed nature assimilated. And so God has given us DNA and RNA to change us, to assimilate His RNA and His DNA, and to display it in the face of the earth. And so, with that in mind, let's go and read 1 John. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 18. Says this, know you not that whosoever is born of God sins not? He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. The word born of God, the word whosoever is born of God sins not. The word born means to be seeded. Seeded. So when you are seeded by God, you do not sin anymore. Why? Because the record of sin is broken. Your DNA carries inscriptions on it and the 22 autosomes that are like a book that dictate the way you are going to behave. You choose your responses in that, which activate that stuff, which then form bondages if it's in sin in your life. Then you pass them on to your children. But you don't actually have to engage those. He that is seated by God does not sin. So stop calling yourself sinners. Get that religious devil crucified. And then it says something even better than that. He that is begotten of God, which actually comes from the root genetics or Genesis, Begotten means in the beginning, where you were begotten, God begot you. So at the very beginning, when you were born in the genetics of God, because you carry the record of that genetics, you keep yourself, and the evil one does not touch you. So if you're busy saying, oh, I got slimed the other day, well, actually, you haven't been begotten by God, so you need to go and get yourself repenting. Yes, Ian. Hallelujah. And so what God has given us is provision for his kingdom to come to bear in us. In the middle of that, you find John 6. He that eats my body and drinks my blood is going to live forever, is not going to die. We went all through that the other day. Six of them. What God is saying is there is a way that you do not know of that I'm giving you grace to engage, to have a record sitting in you that is going to change you from the record you are into something totally different. Let's read another scripture. This is 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, and there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree, are in one. So you have a record and a witness. You remember, you must have two things to form the ark. To open up the realm of the kingdom so that the glory can come down through. Two things: the witness and the record. Each carrying three strands. The heavenly one carrying the record of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Word of Jesus. And the other, actually it's a little bit more than just the Word of Jesus, because it's the decreed Word of God that stands in the form and the nature of the Son to watch over what the Father has spoken will come to pass. It's a little bit more intimate than just Jesus. And then you have the water. Let me just get this right here, sorry. You have the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Your body is 78% water. I think, is that correct? 76 or 78, somewhere around there. What's 1 or 2% when most of it's water? When you get a bit older, it's a bit more water, you know. Hallelujah. And when you get ancient, there's no water left because it's all converted to gold. No, not really. And so, the water which is in your life bears record with the blood that you take into your life, with the Spirit of God in your spirit that sits inside there that says, we bear record of heaven. So there's this thing going on the earth, which is the Spirit, the water, and the Word, which is all about you manifesting that which is in heaven, so heaven and you can acknowledge heaven together, so that the Word of the Lord in Jerusalem can be established, and the law of the Lord in Zion can be established, so that which is in heaven can acknowledge that which is on the earth and engage it, so that the window of heaven can be opened and the glory can come down through it and sit on that thing which attests and says, this is who I am. Jesus removed the false covering. He said to that false two-strand DNA, no longer are you going to bear record. Oi, oi, you're done. I mean, that's in modern language. Hey, dude, you're done. I mean, can you imagine what would happen in the realm of the kingdom if you really got hold of this reality? God has given us the capacity to have our DNA absolutely and totally changed by engaging the protocol of what he supplied to us through taking communion and allowing it to affect our bodies. Because there's a witness in heaven and there's a witness on the earth that the heaven is looking somewhere to land itself in. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Man, I can feel religious devils. Oh, Jesus. Rabba shikete. The demonic world does not like truth, because the truth sets you free. So, see, and so when you no longer have to struggle with sin and sinning, then actually, what can he tempt you with? I mean, that's a good thought to me. Imagine never being tempted ever, ever again. Hallelujah. That's the provision that's in the DNA of God, that God's given us, that witness is in us, and we can carry and bear record of on the earth, that I no longer am begotten by my parents. I've been begotten by God. And so, what does God have to do then? Well, let's see. I will take out the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. What's he talking about? Not giving you a flesh. You've already got a fleshy heart. So what's the stony heart thing? The stony heart is a record that fights against the testimony of who the DNA of God is. So what does God's DNA have to do? Change your heart. What God's going to do? Renew your heart and change your heart. Give us a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. How can you go to sleep on me? Holy Spirit. Don't go to sleep. I will squirt you with water. Shake yourself. 1, 2, 3, 4. Up and down. Yes, Ian. Hallelujah. See. God really wants to engage the church in this reality, that if we engage the provision of what he's given us in his DNA, the devil cannot come near us. We cannot fall into temptation and sin, because there's a different record that engages us into holiness and righteousness without even worrying about what the other part of our life is doing, because it doesn't there anymore. Like, are you getting it? Not there anymore. Like, not have to struggle with it and not even have to think about it, because it's not there anymore. It's gone. 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 Where's it gone? Gone. When the Bible says no more, it means no more. It's done. Like when the enemy can't touch you, it means he can't touch you, really. Like he really, really, really can't touch you. That's what the Bible says. And so you just got to believe what the word says. But the problem is, you've got to give that word a platform to sit on. And God's looking for a three-strand cord. God's going to change your heart. Because when he changes your heart, your body has to follow where your heart goes. Because your heart carries the record of your parents, because that's the original cell that you were made in from this morning. Well, this afternoon, actually, we shared on that stuff. Get the CD. And it's like, oh, praise God, I've only said that once, twice since I've been here. Hallelujah, it's a miracle. My wife will be going, hallelujah, honey. See, God wants to change the record of your heart, to change who you are, because you change the heart, you change the nature, you change the desire, you change the protocol, you change the process, you change the way your DNA is made. Are you getting this? God has given us three strains to engage, and it's found in taking communion together. Those three strains culminate in communion that we take today. It's amazing. You know, all the way through the scripture, there's these three things. You know, Jesus says this in Revelations, to him who overcomes, will I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is of the paradise of God. Hallelujah. I don't bet you, but I want to eat from that tree. But the Bible says that God put in the way of the tree of life cherubims and a flaming sword. Three things, not one thing. Cherubims means two angels called cherubim. What are they doing? Holy. What's standing in the middle of the holy? A living sword, which is the light of God. And so your DNA is going to take on the reflection of holy with the light of God. Yes, Ian. Hallelujah. And so the only way you can walk into the way of the tree of life is to engage the DNA of God, so that the word of God can be attested inside of you and can move inside of you, and so that you then have access into the ways of God. The Bible says, walk in my ways. Well, the ways of God are through the way of the tree of life. Because it's not the tree of life, it's the way, which is a pathway or a journey into eternal life. Hallelujah, Father. So tonight we are going to take communion. Yay. With a little bit of a difference. Glory to Jesus. Yay. It's not going to be a nip and a sip anymore. I'm sorry. Well, I'm actually really glad because it's kind of going to change protocol of the way you do stuff. And hopefully you'll do it more than once a month. Like at least three times a day. Morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Take it when you first take your meal. Tonight we had Cornish pasties. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. I couldn't eat it all, so I licked the top of it so no one else would take it. Hallelujah, Father. Got to be very wise when it comes to Cornish pasties in their household. Hallelujah, Jesus. But what did I do? Well, we had some outer flake, and we had some potato, and then I had some water. You don't actually need the religious symbol of bread and water, although that's what Jesus did, so it's good when you actually come together to do it, because it gives you a symbol to engage. But listen, when you engage the symbol, you engage the protocol of the provision in the symbol. It doesn't actually have to be bread and water. Because what happens if bread and water aren't there? Well, you can eat some dust and blow something in the air, and I mean, whatever you need to do, make some spit and lick it up your hand. I don't care. Just engage it as a symbol. I'm being serious. Like, it might sound funny, but there may be an environment where you just don't have access to that stuff, and so you go looking for things to do. Find whatever you need to do. Father, thank you for. And I did. I did this in the middle of the desert in Egypt at 55 degrees Celsius. I didn't have water, and I wanted to take communion. I didn't have anything around me to take it, so I sat down. I got a bit of spit in my hand, and I got a bit of dust. Father, thank you for the bread of God that you've given me in the name of Jesus. Today, I take this by faith. The issue is it's a symbol of engagement that opens the door for the provision of God to have a seat inside of you to manifest itself in. I mean, whatever you need, just whatever you do, just don't get religious about this stuff. And that's part of the problem with the church we have today. The church has become so blasted religious with systems. And I'm going to be having communion with my group, and I'm going to give them lettuce leaf, and I'm going to give them milk. And let's see how they handle it. And so we're going to have communion today. I'm going to hand them a lettuce leaf. I guarantee you'll have somebody who's going to manifest. And I've been telling them this stuff for the last 2 years, yet they still get a religious system. And so I do weird things like that to break the religious system. And I find it fun. Because it is fun. It just kind of sets their mind in the right way. You know, anyway, so we're going to have communion. What we are going to do is if we can just grab one of you guys just to give us a hand here to haul us out here for a minute. I'm going to grab the edge of that table. Be great. Thank you. Now, this isn't alcohol, so it's just grape juice. So it's a good thing. And there's been a bit of a problem in some of my people's acquaintances that I know in the States. They have a table that they take communion on. There's been an angel that's been visiting their table, and they leave, you know, a 2 gallon jar of water, and they come in the morning and it's pomegranate wine and it's bread all over there, little crusty things, which are manna. It's great. It's very good. Every day they get stuff. It's just wonderful. They send me some every couple of months, and I've given some to my niece is a winemaker, and they can tell you where the wine is just by doing the readings on the mineral content of the wine, what nation it's come from, where it was grown, what kind of soil is, and I've given her some of this wine to actually tell me where it's come from, and she hasn't got back to me yet. And it'll be one of those things, Uncle Ian, where did you get this from? It's really different. I know, because it tastes different. It's been in my fridge for 4.5 months and hasn't gone bad yet. It's amazing. Like, it smells so alcoholic, but when you drink it, it just tastes like grape juice. Like, well, it's not with a bit of a fruity flavor inside. It's amazing. It used to be water. Hallelujah. Anyway, what I'm going to get you to do is to come around here. Do you want to do an offering at this stage? Probably would be really good. I want to trade with your offering tonight. We want to take this stuff on the sea of glass. Could we have your baskets for offering here? Be really great. Any checks with 6 noughts after the end, just write them out to Ian. No, not really. I'm so glad I'm the preacher and I can be naughty. Thank you, Father. What I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to come here, break off a piece of bread. Remember, there's probably about, I don't know, 150 people in here. So please don't take half the loaf if you haven't had dinner. Go home and buy your own loaf of bread when you get home. Hallelujah. Then I want you to take a bit of the towel, fold it up. I want you to take your bit of bread and I want you to dip it into the juice and take it back to your chair and hold it until everybody's got it. When we've done that, we're going to have communion together and then we're going to take your offering and we're going to trade it on the sea of glass before the presence of God. So please, we want to just, I don't know how many of you want to come around this side here and go around there and go back to your seat. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go through what I pray when I take communion so you have an idea of what I'm engaging and how I'm engaging it. A couple of sessions ago, we talked about the DNA. You know, he that is my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. And so we talked about the record of the resurrection power that's in that, the transfiguration on the mountain and the body and the blood of Jesus and the testimony of the record of the DNA that was given to us on the face of the earth, that God, it was the first time God's DNA was on the face of the earth. And so we now have it in symbols in our little handies. And so what I'm going to do, I'd like you to close your eyes and just listen to me praying, come into agreement with what I'm praying. Father, I want to thank you today that you've given us a testimony of the record out of heaven of your DNA, the testimony that you brought to earth to give us an engagement inside of us, that when we take this, that gives our body and our spirit something to engage, to begin to transform us, to bear your image on earth as it is in heaven. Father, your word says, as we are born the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. And Father, to empower us to bear the image of the heavenly, we need a change in the record of the earthly. And Father, you gave us that provision today in the body and the blood of your Son. Father, I want to thank you that in the body that was broken for our lives is a testimony record of being transfigured in the glory on the mountain of God. Father, I thank you that in that record there was a sound and a frequency of the voice of God. There was color and pure white light that shines in that body. Father, I thank you that in the blood of your Son, you gave us a record of the three strands of your DNA. And today, Father, I want to thank you that those things are engaged and embedded in these symbols that I hold in my hand according to your word and according to faith that you have given these things to us as symbols to remember what Jesus did by giving us those things in victory. Father, today I want to acknowledge that and I want to speak into these symbols today and I speak to them that they would receive the truth of the testimony of the Word of God into them and the testimony that Jesus bore and left behind that this today, by faith, in His name, carries that record in my hand today in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let's just eat. Hallelujah. Put your hands on your stomach. Father, today as a spirit being, by faith, I engage the resurrection power of being transfigured on the mountain of God. I engage that record that now sits inside my body in a physical form. I draw on the provision of that testimony today, Father, into my body, into the cells of my DNA, right in the very structured protocol. I decree today that I've been transformed out of created light into a creative light being. Today, Father, I engage the strands of the DNA of God that I now have inside of me as this bread and wine goes into my body. Father, let that strand and let that cord become a reality into me. Today I release that strand and the record of the DNA of God into the marrow of my bones. And I speak to my bones and I command these dead men's bones to live in the name of Jesus and to produce the DNA of the presence of God, to produce a record of the Son of God in me. I command my bones, the marrow of my bones, to receive the testimony of the three strand cord of the DNA of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, there's nothing religious about that. Okay. I would encourage you, practice it. Get your own words. Take my words. What I tell people is take my words. Take them home. Write them down. Practice with them until you can do your own words and speak those kind of things without having to think about what you're saying. Once you've done that, use your own blasted prayer. Stop using mine. Okay, let's go and have a break until 9:05. We come back and we have our last session.